If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Welcome along to another episode of the Need to Know Acting Show with me, Ruben Rabstein. And joining me for this exclusive Switchbox TV interview is former Love Island star, personal trainer, semi-professional football player, model and artist. Welcome along, Mr. Jack Fowler. How are you?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. You're in sunny East London, is that right?
I am. I am outside of sunny East London. A bit strange, though. It's cold, but it's doing all right.
And you're sitting in the gaming chair. Is that getting you through lockdown?
Do you know what? I got this chair to help me DJ, really. But yeah, no, I got the game. I got my console there, but I'm primarily DJing. So I just needed somewhere to sit down and just focus. So yeah.
No, I mean, I like it because obviously back in 2020, you released your single Back to Yours.
Yeah.
With Bigger Flows. What was the sort of process behind it? How did you come about actually getting that song out there?
Well, I've always had a strong passion for music. As a kid, I used to do, all my singing and acting and dancing. I was quite good at acting, quite good at singing and all right at dancing. And then I kind of had to push that to the side a little bit because I was focusing on football. But I always had a strong passion for singing and acting and dancing. So when it come about, you know, after Love Island, so many doors open. And the opportunity came up, and my manager Simon Webb, you know, he's in Blue, the boy band, and he's doing it as long as I've been alive. So it kind of just fell into place quite naturally, and we just hit the studio, and had some fun, and we wrote some stuff, and yeah, it just kind of just happened. I mean, it got released in April during lockdown, which is a little bit frustrating, I suppose, because, you know, I couldn't go out there and perform and, you know, do radio and stuff like that. So, but in saying that, everyone was online, obviously, because of COVID, everyone's at home on social media and streaming and stuff. So in that aspect, it did okay. But for me, I think that slow R&B kind of vibe, it was fun. And, you know, it was for the ladies, I suppose, you know, like a lot of my following is, of course.
Exactly. Because what I was going to say is the song and even the music video, it's pretty racy.
It's a bit saucy.
Is it about somebody in particular? Not divulge that information.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't write the song. I actually didn't write this song. So I don't know if the writer had someone in mind, but no, I think the shoot day was brilliant. I mean, I loved it. It was an early start, man. It got shot all within one day. But yeah, the whole vibe, you know, the camera crew and just everyone around, it was such a positive energy. So really, really enjoyed it. But I think my music is going to kind of change a little bit now because I did so many personal appearances, you know, in the clubs and stuff after Love Island. And I just found myself on stage all the time, like just performing other people's songs. And Back to Yours isn't really a club banger. You know, it's one for the bedroom.
I'm now in the studio
with White Nerd, a producer he's done a lot of things, and yeah, we're just making nice beats for the clubs for when they open.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully we'll see that day so soon. I mean, I'm craving to get out there. But obviously Simon Webb, for you, that must be an awesome mentor. But it sounds as well like you were always from a young age just used to performing. I mean, like, were you just front and center at like a school talent show, school plays, things like that, even in the house just growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I always found myself in front of the camera. I don't know, it just happened naturally. I mean, my first passion is football. I just love football, like any normal kid, really. I just love football. But I found myself always, you know, I always found myself on stage, whether or not it was singing or acting or dance. I always found myself in front of the camera and I loved it. I performed in the West End from a young kid, like at Soho Theatre. We was in the National Youth Theatre and it was just brilliant. Like, I just loved it. But maybe it kind of taught me certain things that I wasn't really going to learn from a textbook, you know, how to be in front of a camera, how to relax, you know. So when it came to, you know, reality TV, I already felt like I had a little bit of an edge because I wasn't freaked out by, you know, a camera in my face or a microphone attached to me. Like, I just kind of just come to me quite naturally. So,
yeah. 100%. And is there one maybe play or musical or production that stands out for you as either the best you've watched or the best you've been in? Like, what are your favorites?
I think for me, I remember going to see obviously The Lion King as a kid, and my dad said to me afterwards, like, my mouth was just wide open the whole time. Like, I just couldn't believe what was going in front of my eyes. It was real life magic.
Yeah.
But I think as I grew up, I started to really enjoy the Jersey Boys, the musical.
Wow. And that's a bit of me.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, music, a lot of people, obviously I'm 25, so R&B and rap and, you know, all that stuff I'm heavily, heavily involved in.
Yeah.
But I have a strong passion for Motown, and I have a strong passion for, like, soul music and ska music and all these kind of things that maybe the average 25-year-old wouldn't really be, you know, open to. But I definitely am, and I think that's because of my dad. You know, my dad, he brought me up, obviously with my mom, but my dad brought me up with more music. So I definitely got a bit of knowledge from him.
Sure. So he was the soul influence and the Motown and things like that. It's actually interesting you say that, because genuinely yesterday I was listening to my Otis Redding sitting on the Dock of the Bay record. And I think that you can't really, no one in the world today can replicate a sound like that.
No.
I think that era of music, that was just that so unique.
That is the thing. A lot of artists now, we're talking about Drake, you know, Chris Brown, Bruno Mars especially.
Yeah.
He and Kanye West, these guys are making material that they've sampled from music that is back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. So I think the era that we are in now is an all new kind of era, because I don't know if in 30 years time, you know, the new artist then is going to sample what Chris Brown brings out right now. I don't know. But the old school feel of music definitely is in today's current world.
100%. If there was one artist, past or present, that you could swap lives with for a day, who would it be with?
Bob Marley.
Yeah? Why's that?
Because he had such an influence, not just in the music, but in the world. You know, he had such a big influence in the world, like what he stood for and everything. And even to an extent, Elvis as well. Like Elvis, I remember my mum told me, I've seen the videos as well, they used to record him, you know, his hip up, because...
The Sullivan Show.
The hip up, because his hips were moving so, you know, quick and sexually and just rolling around. No one had ever seen that before on a TV. And it was like, you know, he was a young talent at the time, so kids were kind of seen and not heard. But he was kind of breaking in and kids were kind of relating to it, now dancing like him. So for me, those kind of icons are people that actually changed and shift music.
Big time. And that's so refreshing, because as well, someone like me, so coincidentally, Elvis is my favorite of all time. I mean, why do you think the collar's up and we're doing waist up as well? But it's so refreshing, because there are a lot of people out there that are actually, first they follow the trend before they like what they hear. So for you to say that you just like the sound, it's so refreshing when there's so much music out there. And I think that as well, like what the song that you produced, I mean, with Figure Flows, I mean, it's awesome. We're actually playing it around the house at university the whole time. So we're loving it as well, man. But also just taking it back as well. Obviously you were on Love Island in 2018, but you started in day 26. So what was it like actually coming in the middle when you've already got a few people that are kind of, they've got their loyalties to certain people. Was that even harder for you to come in?
I remember, because I watched the show anyway as a young man just wanting to watch the show. So I'm a fan of it anyway. And I remember watching, because I knew I was going in from the very beginning. I knew back in March, and the show airs in July, I think, June, July. So I was prepared to go in at any stage. In fact, I thought I was going to go in at the beginning. So I kind of prepared myself to do that. Then I came in halfway. But I watched the half that I wasn't in. And it was a great chance for me to kind of see what people were doing, relationships, et cetera, et cetera. But when I went in there, the certain perceptions I had of everyone, whether or not it was good or... you know, they were a bit of a bully, or, you know, they weren't someone I think I'd click with. As soon as I met these people, completely changed my thought. You know, everyone was
what do you think that is?
So nice. Well, it's because we there's a storyline, isn't it? It's a TV show, so there needs to be a villain. There needs to be a nice guy. And again, that's all down to the edit. That's all down to how people, you know, portray themselves as well in the show, but primarily down to the edit. Which for me, when I walked in there, it kind of made me realize. I thought, you know what? I could be someone who I'm not to try and be liked, or be myself. And if they edit it a little bit off key, maybe make me look a little bit more of a villain than I am, then so be it. I can't control that. I can just be myself. And I think a lot of people in there were kind of in that, do I be myself? Do I not be myself? So yeah, but for me, I just loved it. Every moment, it was just amazing, life-changing, yeah. Amazing people. And yeah, it's great. Yeah,
it's interesting because even though you obviously came in the middle, I mean, I thought that throughout the whole show that you actually conducted yourself like really well. And I wonder, because obviously at the time you came in, all the boys were actually in another villa in Castle d'Amour, right? Yeah. And so when they came back,
yeah,
was it a bit intimidating, maybe a bit like turf wars? It was like, well, like back to Lion King, were they like the hyenas coming back?
Yeah. What was quite funny is that the villa that they went to, Castle d'Amour, we could hear them.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, not we couldn't hear conversations.
Yeah, but sure.
If they all shouted, we could hear them.
Sure.
And there was a game that we were playing, and it was basically a villa, our villa, which we were in, the main villa, and the Castle d'Amour villa where the new girls and the original boys were in. And we were battling out in these tasks. And I think there was three tasks and we won every single one. So I already felt like, you know, the boys that I was with, we already own this villa now because we've just done you over three times in your villa. But when they came back, I mean, us, Josh and Wes now, and we spoke about it since, they said to me, oh, when we saw you, we were like, we don't like this guy because he didn't like me because I am quite loud. I am quite just out there. I do talk to everyone. I am a flirt. Like, so they were probably a bit threatened. But then by day two, day three, they were like to me, you know what, you can't not like him. And to be fair, same to them. Like, I didn't dislike them, but I definitely knew that I was like kind of in their territory, as it were.
For sure.
Yeah, it was all good vibes, man. Within like 2, 3, 4 days, everyone just clicked, and we just molded really, really well.
Yeah, definitely. And it did actually come across that way. It did seem that for all the editing, I'm sure that goes on, it actually did seem really natural. But also I think that not just yourself, but loads of contestants that come out the villa, there are lots of accounts of how people's lives change drastically overnight. Yeah. What were the most noticeable things for you that just in everyday life just changed?
Just overall, probably celebrity life, you know, fame. Yeah. Fame, like I wouldn't really say I'm famous. I'd say I'm a celebrity. I think fame is when, you know, you're like a footballer or you're an artist. That's real fame. Like, but for me, I'm a celebrity. And I think with that, yeah, it comes a lot of responsibility. You know, I have to maybe conduct myself a little bit differently to what I may have been doing prior to the show. But I think for me, I had to get used to people knowing me and me not knowing them. Because people obviously watch the show and celebs go dating as well and social media, whatever. And they feel like they know me. Do you know what I mean? They come up to me like, yo, Jack, what's that? My bro, what's going on? I'm like, not a clue who you are, bro. But
I've never met you before.
and this happens literally daily basis. Like, I meet so many people and I'm terrible with names. So I don't know if I've met you before. I don't know if we worked together before or you're just coming to say hello. So I suppose it's getting your head around that aspect of life is you know, it was challenging at the beginning, but again, it's just something that naturally happens.
Yeah, for sure. And I think for me personally, and probably actually a lot of people, Love Island blesses us with some of the best memes around.
Mm.
And of course, you're no stranger to you lying in bed with that quizzical look in your eye.
Yeah.
Into the distance. But I think the favorite one that I saw was somebody posted that picture and captioned it, can't get to sleep just thinking about when I called my teacher mum.
There's so many. There's obviously so many memes out there. But I was kind of blessed because some memes can ruin you. Some memes can actually flip it and you can be known just for that meme. But yeah, I mean, it's all a bit of fun, social media as well. I come out to a fairly positive reception, which I'm very blessed for. So, the memes are just fun.
Yeah. Well, you got another good one. It was still in Love Island, but you were sunbathing, all that, shades on, and someone posted it and captioned it, "I think I found the solution to all my life problems." So there's a lot of love out there for you, Jet.
Yeah. Honestly, the 2018, 2019, that year was just nonstop. Like, it was brilliant. I loved it. I was doing things and meeting people that I never, ever thought I'd meet, ever.
Yeah.
And a lot of love. It was just, when I look back on it, I just feel a lot of love because I never felt like I was being, terribly trolled or, someone was trying to have a vendetta against me. I just think I was just very lucky because some people come out and they come out to a completely different reception to what I did.
Totally. It's true. And it's important because in what sense do not just you, but other contestants come out and take it with a pinch of salt or maybe take it a lot more to heart? You have been quite vocal in it, actually, and you kind of laugh it all off, which is an awesome outlook on it. But I wonder if more needs to be done for people who are hiding behind a screen, just posting things about people who, in reality, they've never met.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, something happening soon, hopefully, about social media and, to open up an account, you need to have your, passport details or whatever that identification might be. I think that is a massive step because trolling is something that is just now part of life. I think it's more now than ever because you're so accessible.
Yeah.
Before Instagram and Facebook and whatever, you saw your celebrity on stage, and you could probably try and shout as loud as you can, whether or not it's love or abuse, they're not going to hear it, right? So
just noise.
I think now celebrities are obviously with their phones at home. And the outside world that you used to be able to just lock the door and forget about it and home is home is now coming in. I was very lucky. I never really got negative abuse sent at me. But, I definitely know people, friends with people and been around people that have had that kind of experience. And it's devastating. It's really, really hard because they will read 1,000 comments that are positive and then there'll be one that's negative and then they will focus on that.
Yeah.
And that is something that we need to kind of change.
Yeah, big time, agreed. And I think that that's a really important point that the one negative comment can override it and people just need to be just a lot more compassionate to everyone else out there. But in true Love Island style, we're going to play a quick game of keep or dump, right? So I'm going to give you something. It's either blown up because of the pandemic or just the times that we're living in. You have to say if you want to keep it or dump it. Sound good?
Cool.
Home haircuts.
Keep it.
Keep it? I've seen some bad ones.
I'm very lucky, but you're right. I've seen some terrible haircuts.
Horrible ones.
I've seen some that look like they've done it with a spoon. it's way off.
All right. So what we'll say keep.
But no, dump it then. No more home haircuts for people.
Yeah, no more. Okay, fine. No more home hair. Let it grow out. Natural look. Daily 5K challenge.
Oh, I hated it. I hated that. I did it and I hated it. I hate running.
I hate running so much.
I play football. I can do that all day long. Running on the road, I would...
Boring, isn't it?
Boring. It mashes up my knees. It mashes up my ankle, my back. Like, I feel like it's doing worse than it is good.
This next one, I think I know the answer to, but I'm gonna ask it anyway.
What?
TikTok.
No, I keep it, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, keep it.
You're good on TikTok.
Keep it. Facebook, it pays the bills. I have to say keep it. I enjoy it. I think some people get so creative on it.
Yeah.
So, like, there's levels. There's actually levels to it.
I like the ones that you do when you have Kevin Hart dubbed over.
Yeah, yeah. Me and good old Kev.
What about banana bread? Were you on that craze?
I never really... I like it, but I don't really... You know what I mean? I ain't going to change my life if I don't see
it. Bacon, because I just saw loads of people just all of a sudden woke up and everyone was making banana bread. I mean, like, sure, why not? What about a Zoom quiz night?
Yeah, I like it. It brings people together. There was a part in lockdown where every Thursday night, me and the family would jump on the Zoom and we'd have a quiz. Everyone would take it in turns. And I thought it was great. I thought it was a great laugh. You know, have a couple of drinks. We had a fancy dress night. That was fun.
What did you go as?
What did I go as? I think I went as Peter Pan or something. I can't remember.
Nice.
But yeah, it was just banner. It was good. It was different.
Like it. And last one, Bridgerton. Did you watch it?
No, I haven't.
It blew up and I didn't watch it before it blew up. And then I started watching it and I thought to myself, yeah, okay, I kind of get this. I mean, if you got some time, man, give it a watch for sure.
Yeah, okay.
It's a good one. It'll keep you entertained. But also, as well, just moving away. Now, I've heard from people who I actually know played football with you.
Mm.
You're pretty handy on the pitch.
I don't know.
Some big clubs that you played for at semi-pro level. And obviously you said that you always wanted to go pro when you were younger. I wonder as well, just relating actually back to Love Island, there are certain things that people can say on a football pitch and get away with. Why do you think that is?
I mean, looking like this, look, if I was to run up to you in the street and slide tackle you, that would be GBH. Yeah, I'm nicked, right? If I did that onto the pitch, I might get a yellow card, at worst a red. So there's a lot of things on a football pitch that you can get away with on the pitch. But things that can't obviously happen on a pitch and off the pitch is racism. That there's nowhere in the world that is gonna, you know, glorify racism. So yeah, I mean, apart from that, there's not much you could say on the pitch that you can't get away with outside.
Yeah, I mean, well said, because obviously, you know, especially with everything going on right now, there's zero room for it all. But I also, what I like as well about you is that I can imagine that, because for me personally, I think that characters in football now are harder to come by than maybe 80s or 70s, 80s and 90s players. And I think that, especially in the semi-pro level, they're also easier to find, maybe because there's less media attraction and things like that. But is the environment of football something that you're just comfortable with? You know, just a group of boys all getting on and just playing the game that you just love to play?
That molded me. Being because I went from playing under 18s, where, you know, my mum and dad, I didn't drive until I was like 17, 18. So my mum and dad would take me football every training session every week. But I went from under 18s. I went from under 18s. I didn't do under 21s. I went straight to first team. And that transition definitely molded me as a man, because that overall, you know, camaraderie and the morale in the team and having that kind of exposure to not people my age, people older. I mean, some of the lads in my dressing room were like, you know, 10 years older than me. So life experiences they had, conversations I was having with them, their outlook on the game, but also life, was obviously completely different to whatever I had expected or been with before. So I think the dressing room is where a lot of people, you know, build their character. And for me, that is definitely where my character was built, because I looked at football as, you know, something that I loved doing and had a passion for, but I didn't realize what it could help me outside of football. So yeah, I think, you know, being a footballer at the top level, I mean, look, you're going to get so much scrutiny, you're going to get media all over you. You won't be able to go anywhere without being watched. But you're right. I think back in the 70s, 80s and 90s, you know, everyone was just there to play the ball. You know, it was passion. It weren't about money.
Yeah.
But now money, you know, you've got the rich Arabs taking over football clubs in the Premier League. We've got unlimited sources of money. So they're getting the best players and they're on stupid money. Yeah. So some of them players are making more in a week than we will make in our lifetime. So, you know, they've got the flash cars, and that in itself will probably just make your ego, well, definitely will make your ego like no other. And you just got to look at Pogba. I mean, like the hairstyles my man comes out with, you'll never see that. You know what I mean? You'd never see that in the 60s, 70s. But
no way.
It's good to see because he's expressing himself, I suppose. Yeah. And that's, you know, I'm never going to hate on someone for expressing themselves.
No, exactly. Especially in a harmless way like that. But it's interesting what you say, because I had my first team, my semi-pro first team appearance when I was 16. And it was just so weird for me coming into a dressing room and there are people there who are like, literally double my age playing, who've just been in the game since they were also 16. There's just so many things that you can pick up that, like you say, you can use just outside of football as well. But one thing, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. If there's one player that you could play with who's ever played the game, who would it be with?
Ever.
Ever.
I think I would say Ronaldo. I'd say Ronaldo. I think Messi and Ronaldo are obviously the best players ever. I would love to have a kick around with Maradona.
Yeah.
But you know, I think what Ronaldo has done is what he's done is something that no one else has done. You know, he's played in every single league. You know, highest league in Europe. You know, Messi obviously stayed in La Liga. So Ronaldo's got that kind of exposure to be able to say, look, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that in every single country. So, yeah, I think that would be amazing. That would be great.
Yeah, that's, can't argue with that answer. No way. Yeah. What, I mean, moving forward, you know, obviously everything's a bit slower now in the times that we're in. What can we look forward to from you? What are the ambitions? What are the plans? Is it? Yeah. I see the DJ set behind you. Is that in it? The acting, the football. What can we expect? Yeah.
Well, for me, I'm really focusing on my presenting at the moment, and also my DJing. And like I said, I love my music. I'm going into the studio this weekend actually for 3 days to come out with some more tracks. Because I've been busy throughout lockdown. It's been strange. It's been a blessing and been strange in one. I think I've had time to kind of focus, you know, because before lockdown I was clubbing, I was at beach parties, I was, you know, I was like jetting off everywhere, and I was enjoying life, which was amazing. But now I can actually focus on things that I need to focus on. So yeah, I mean, music, presenting, DJing, that for me is where I'm at.
That's awesome. And I mean, as well, hey, you've got the stage experience from when you were a young boy as well. So we like it. And honestly, we're all very, very excited here at Switchbox TV. And I'm sure all your fans are, just to see what you got in store for us. But thank you so much for coming on and speaking to us, Jack. Really appreciate it. You're a real gent. And we're very excited to see more of you. Hopefully one day we can do this, like actually sitting in the same room.
Yeah.
Honestly, thank you so much for coming on and speaking to us, my man.
No worries, my bro. No problem.
Pleasure. Take it easy.
Take it easy. You good?
Done? Good. Where is he?
How was that, Sean?
Sean, you're alive. How was that? All good for you?
Sean ain't even there.
He's not even there. I know. Yeah. He's ditched it. He got bored of us.
Hey, and I'm here. Sorry, my mouse was all broken. Mate, that's all right. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Jack. Absolute star.
Is that all right, Jack? Was that good for you, yeah?
Yeah, man. Good questions, bro.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. And the football career as well, man. I've heard some things. I mean, sadly, we haven't got to play at the same time. I came a few years later. But
Where were you? What?
Well, because when I was till 18, I was playing like Brentford and Charlton. Yeah. But then after I played at Wingate.
Yeah.
But I know, because you, when were you at Grays?
I was at Grays when I was 16 to 18.
Oh, okay.
And then I went to Grays. I went back when I was 20 maybe. I might have been 21 to when I was about 20.
Would you know Mitch Hahn?
Yeah.
So I played with him at the Maccabiah. which is like the it's like the Jewish Olympics basically. So we went we won gold out there.
Sick.
But that's how. Yeah. But no, honestly, man. So are you signed with anyone at the minute, or are you just gonna wait till everything's?
I like playing for the charity games, man. I'd love to dedicate myself, but I can't. Right now, I can't afford to break a leg. You know, I can't afford to. Which is a shame because I miss it every day. But
yeah,
I'm lucky because I get to play in charity games. You know.
Yeah.
So I can't really complain. It's a bit different, you know. Playing it's a match playing, but it's you know, it's
the biggest charity game you've played at, Jack. Right? What's the biggest charity game you played? And what crowd?
30,000 is at Wembley.
Oh my God, mate, yeah, that must have been an experience.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was crazy. Like, because we had the full on, that was actually not even for charity. That was for F2, the YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
YouTube block. So, yeah, that was the cup final. We got there, we won. But it was amazing because it was literally half, they packed out half the stadium. And we had, you know, the proper dressing rooms, you got picked up, hotel, like through the tunnel where the players would go. You know, entering the stadium. So it was kind of wicked because I remember as a kid, I went to Wembley to do the tour. And this is when I was playing football. And I was like, you know what, one day I will pay here. Like, I don't know how, I don't know who for. And in my mind at that time, I thought it'd be like, you know, playing Premier League or whatever. But the fact that I actually was able to then actually do it in a completely different circumstance, but still actually tick that box was amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It was really awesome. But no, honestly, dude, thank you so much for coming on.